North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, thanks for jumping in with us today. It's Tuesday, it's Speak Up, and yep, my name is Barbara, saying welcome to you. So, today's program is about vaccines, all the different types and uses of vaccines, and we're going to also look at the vaccination status or the statistics right here in Idaho, especially in our Panhandle Health District 1, which is the Northern District, and that's us. So we have a lot to cover today, and you know I always have people here to help us get the facts straight, so here to benefit us with their knowledge and training are two nurses from our Panhandle Health District, Christina Gavin and Carrie Ann Yarnell. And so everybody, settle in, get comfortable, and keep it right here at 1400 AM, 1450 AM, 97.1, and streaming for you live right now on NorthIdahoRadio.com. We'll be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert, serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. Now is the time to get your vehicle serviced for the season ahead, so call Brown's today at 263-4643 or stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC Certified Master Mechanics can help keep your equipment on the road. Open weekdays from 7 to 5 and Saturdays from 7 to 1. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Something very special is happening at Sandpoint Furniture. Hi, Mike here for Sandpoint Furniture. In celebration of our 75th anniversary, Sandpoint Furniture Carpet One is offering exciting sale prices on furniture and flooring throughout the store. Take advantage of great anniversary sale prices on living room, dining room, and bedroom groups. Big savings on fine carpets, tile, and hardwood flooring by Carpet One. Sleep better tonight on a new Beautyrest mattress set, all on sale. Yes, we have interest-free financing available. Sandpoint Furniture Carpet One wants to thank you for 75 great years, and we've been proud to support our community since 1945. We're working hard to be your hometown furniture and flooring store for 75 years.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me. And my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
Hey everybody, join me, say hello, and welcome to our guest, Christina Gavin. Hi, Christina. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
And Carrie Ann Yarnell. Carrie Ann, thank you.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Christina and Carrie Ann, as I said before, are both nurses at Panhandle Health District. They're here to keep us on the main road. And before we get into our discussion, I just want to kind of do a disclaimer. We all know that there are issues that some people have with vaccines. They have issues with what they consider to be severe side effects, and they think they may hurt their babies, or just on their own adult level. They don't want to get a pneumonia shot, or they don't want to get a flu shot. And we respect that, and we don't have any problem, but that is not what this program is about. This program is kind of an education program to refresh what we know about the vaccines that are available, what they do, what their purposes are, kind of what the percentages are for effectiveness, and that's what we're going to talk about. So we're glad that you're with us today, and we're glad that we have our two nurses with us today. So let's get started with what I call the baby vaccines. It's probably got a more formal name, but who wants to start us off with the baby vaccines? How about you, Christina? What are they and when are they first administered?
Okay. Typically, babies get immunizations starting at 2 months of age. Actually, often, many times babies get an immunization in the hospital. They get Hep B in the hospital at the time of birth or right before they go home. So that kind of starts off their immunization series. But then routinely, they get them at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 12 months of age, and then again at 15 months. And then really if they're on track after that 15-month time period, then they don't have to come back in until they start school between ages 4 and 6. So,
except for flu.
Yeah, except for their yearly flu shot. Thank you, Carrie Ann.
Are the flu shots obviously for children? Maybe it isn't obvious in babies. A different formula, or is it the same formula that adults take? Carrie Ann, what do you think?
It depends on the brand. So, you know, there was a vaccine. I can't remember if it's a Flurio because we've never given it, but it might have been like a 0.25 milliliter dose instead of a 0.5 milliliter. But typically the formulation is going to be the same in terms of which strains of the virus that they're trying to protect.
Okay.
So it starts at 6 months of age and older.
Sounds good. Come in on your microphone just a little bit if you would be comfortable doing that. Thanks. Well, I'm looking at a list here. Okay, Hep B, we see that happening.
So they have hepatitis B.
What's DTaP?
DTaP is diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis.
Uh-huh. Diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis.
Uh-huh.
So we know that pertussis goes by what we call it, whooping cough.
Exactly.
And it looks like they get several DTaps. They're like several different doses as they age all the way up to 4 through 6. They get, looks like, their last DTap.
Yeah, and on the pertussis component, it's also important to note that it's recommended for moms and new dads and also new grandparents or anyone really caring for that infant to get a Tdap vaccine, which is going to include that pertussis component and help protect that baby before they have their own protection.
You called that shot a different name. What was that again?
A Tdap. So
Tdap.
It still has tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, but based on how the letters go and everything, it has different amounts of that those.
I know when my niece, who is in Dallas, had her first baby, she sent kind of a blanket email out. Not that we were not invited, but we all had to get inoculated before we showed up to hold that new little baby girl. And I had never heard of that until she did that.
Yeah, because that baby gets immunity from you having immunity and not passing things along to them.
Okay. What's HIB? That's another one that's on the infant list.
That's HIB. That's for Haemophilus B.
Don't know what that is. Have never heard of it. The vaccine must be working if I've never heard of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that something that's newer or has that been around for a while?
No, that one's been around for quite a while as well.
Okay. Carrie Ann, it just seems to me these are a lot of vaccinations for a baby, and I was surprised to see influenza. Is there what kind of, most babies can absorb these kinds of vaccinations without any kind of an issue?
Yes. So the idea is that this schedule was created by the experts, the ACIP, which is the Advisory Committee for, I can't remember what the P stands for. But anyway, it's basically a panel of experts from every, you know, like you have immunologists, you have pediatricians, you have, you know, virologists. So you kind of have the experts from every discipline. And their idea is to create a safe and effective schedule that will protect our children. Mm-hmm. And so when you go off of that ACIP schedule, that's something that's not studied. So that's one of the reasons why we so strongly recommend sticking with the ACIP schedule, because that has been studied, and it has been, the studies have been repeated by multiple countries, nonprofit, profit, other governments, you know, all those kinds of, it's one of the most studied schedules. So we know that one is safe and effective. Mm-hmm. And so you have that schedule based on their study of and the immune system, exactly, and how it works and the route, whether it's IM versus intramuscular versus, you know, subcutaneous or versus live or, you know, those kinds of things.
Okay, exactly.
And they've determined, like she said, the safety, the amount of antigens that they're getting in those vaccines is safe for those infants.
Right. And it looks like they're spread out over time, so it isn't like perhaps one big dose, but doses that are given, like, well, boosters then afterwards.
And that's what's important. It's important to note that those infants' bodies are trying to build that immune response, which is why that schedule is important and getting multiple doses is important, because if they just got one DTaP, they're not going to be fully protected against those diseases.
There's one other one that I wanted to mention, actually maybe two, but the MMR seems to be an important one. I even have heard of that and know about it. What is the MMR, Christina?
That one's measles, mumps, and rubella. And so infants can get that starting at 12 months of age. So most usually get it at either 12 to 15 months of age. And then again, when they start school at age 4 to 6, they complete their second dose of that. And then after that, you're good for life, typically.
Mm-hmm. I was reading, and not because I was looking it up, it was just kind of came across my radar scope about rubella. And I read that the United States has been declared rubella-free since 2015, which is, I think, we declared ourselves rubella-free, and then X number of years later, the World Health Organization agreed. But yet we still, to maintain that status, we continue to give the MMR.
Exactly.
Most people probably don't know the formal name rubella, but if you tell them what the vernacular is, they will know.
Yeah.
Which is what?
Exactly. And then I think it's important to note that we do investigate cases of measles still, measles and mumps every year.
Yeah. So. What's the difference between measles and German measles? Because that's measles and rubella. I read that rubella is German measles, but...
That's a good question.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it just has to do with the difference is how they classify
the nurses.
It. I know. The genus, so, yeah.
We'll put this on the next trivia board game, okay? All right, well, maybe we can find that out. We can Google it when we get to a break. But anyway, that's a part of the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella. What is varicella?
Chickenpox.
And chickenpox is interesting because that relates to us older people. And like you said, your husband, shingles, because it's related. If you have chickenpox, if you've had chickenpox as a child, then you are open to getting shingles later in life, because you don't really get rid of the chickenpox. Is that the way to look at it? It just kind of goes into remission, and it's lurking away in there, waiting to spring out in a whole new way with shingles. So varicella or chickenpox vaccination is, I would think, really important. And it looks like it's only it's given twice. Okay.
That's given about the same schedule as the MMR. You get it at 12 to 15 months, and then your second dose again at age 4 to 6.
Okay. This is a lot for parents to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a lot of detail, a lot of, alphabet soup of immunizations. So they probably need, they probably really appreciate either nurses like you or their doc or their OBGYN sitting down and explaining to them what is going on before the baby is even born. Is that usually what happens?
Yeah, I think pediatricians are having these conversations, and we give handouts to new moms when they come in to do pregnancy testing. So we give these handouts. I know that's a long ways away, 9 months later, to remember all of that. So, and I think also it's important for us to say that a lot of those vaccines come in a combination vaccine where we can do three different things at once. Mm-hmm. So that saves that baby two additional pokes.
Yeah.
So,
one of the things that we want to get to are, our coverage, our immunization success rate here in Idaho. But the statistics are based on what they're calling the primary seven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've probably covered them, but list out, what are the primary seven? These are the ones that seem to be the most important, the ones that they really base the statistics on.
Yeah, they're going to be all those ones that we just went over, the DTaP, the MMR, the Hib, the Hep B, Prevnar, which is pneumococcal.
Varicella, probably.
What am I missing?
Chickenpox.
Rotavirus. Did we say polio?
Nope, polio.
We haven't gotten
yeah,
to polio yet.
That's an
yet.
Important one.
Yeah, and I had a couple of questions on that. Before we get to polio, though, let's talk about the coverage of these primary seven. I was reading, and let me just read it back to you. According to the 2016 Child National Immunization Survey, vaccination coverage for the primary seven vaccination series for Idaho children ages 19 to 35 months. So that's not going out here to the preschool kids, 19 to 35 months, was almost 94%. It was 73.9%, almost 74%. That to me is pretty good. Do those numbers surprise you? Do you think that's, a number that is a good number?
I think how we compare nationwide is a little low, especially here in northern Idaho, that our stats are a little low, and they definitely have room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're lower than the national average. And did I hear you say we in North Idaho are lower than Southern Idaho by a lot or a little?
I'm not for sure of those exact statistics. I mean, I could look them up, but I'm pretty sure last word that we got that we are a little bit lower.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that's the job that you ladies do and your colleagues at Panhandle Health District in doing that. All right, you brought up polio vaccine as one of the primary seven. Tell us when that is, because I don't see that on my list for some reason here.
It's IPV, inactivated polio vaccine.
Oh, thank you. See, you read that from all the way across the table.
And again, another reason why it is confusing, the schedule is.
Exactly. It could say parentheses polio. So tell us about that. And the other one I want to ask about is smallpox. But tell us about the polio vaccine.
So it's just recommended at the routine schedule starting at 2 months, like Christina had mentioned earlier. Oftentimes it's in a combination vaccine, so it kind of makes it a little bit more convenient for parents to cover, again, multiple vaccines to protect from multiple diseases with, just a one poke type of thing. And we, for the most part, we're still recommending it in the routine childhood schedule. But when you're an adult, unless you're going into an area where there's an outbreak or, the other country's requiring it, then you don't really need it.
Okay. You don't need a booster.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I guess the reason that polio popped out at me is, being not a professional in the medical field as you are, I don't know. I just thought polio was finished, that, there was no more polio. and that it was conquered a long time ago. And so, but that doesn't make sense, my thinking, because the reason that it's not on our radar scope is because we have successful immunization, successful vaccination schedules for our children, so they don't get polio.
Exactly.
You know, I grew up in the shadow of polio. I mean, I was a little kid when the polio vaccine came online, so I was very fortunate. But mm-hmm. I know older cousins and older, they didn't get it, but it was a lot of fear, you know, that mm-hmm. I became aware of later. And I was always said, how lucky you are, Barbara, that, you know, that you didn't have that.
Yeah,
my grandpa had it, and he actually was paralyzed, and he had to relearn how to walk.
Mm-hmm. Was he in the what they used to call the iron lung, where he
I think
had
he
to have
did,
the...
but I'd have to double check with my mom, actually. I can't remember if he had to do the iron lung or not. I just remember she had told me that he did get it and he had to relearn how to walk.
Yeah. We probably have a lot of younger listeners right now saying iron lung. You know, what is that? But this is the beauty and the miracle of medicine. I know that we can't throw drugs at everything. But to have immunizations that protect us. And, I guess the thing that just popped into my head is that, you know, there are people who cannot eat peanut butter. They're allergic to it. They have a severe reaction. They'll die if they get too much peanuts or peanut butter. And other people are really sensitive to gluten. Other people have... we don't know why things happen and why allergies happen, but the vast majority of people, you know, can eat peanut butter, and the vast majority of infants and school-age kids can have their immunizations, and they can be, the risk for them will be reduced. And when we come back, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I want our nurses to talk to us about that purpose of immunizations, about making the risk less. All right, we'll be right back.
There's no way around it. We're all living in a new normal now. Thankfully, my new normal includes jackpots, because Northern Quest has been giving away millions of dollars every month, over $6.7 million in July jackpots alone, for bets as low as 25 cents. I don't know about you, but that's just what I needed to get me out of the house and put pants on. Things were starting to get weird. Northern Quest, now playing, now paying.
You know why my girlfriend calls me three-time Eddie? Exactly. Because I hit three different jackpots at Northern Quest last month. Enough to buy a new car. But that's not the only reason she calls me three-time Eddie.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Okay, sorry.
Hit more than a jackpot with a delicious variety of restaurants and lounges to choose from. Luxury hotel rooms, La Rive Spa, and more. Only at Northern Quest.
Working hard every day. Putting Idaho first. That's Jim Risch. In the U.S. Senate, Jim Risch is fighting hard to stand up for our values. A-rated by the NRA, Risch is defending our Second Amendment freedoms. Jim Risch cut taxes for Idaho families and small businesses. And Risch is getting tough on China to stop their unfair trade practices that hurt Idaho's farmers, ranchers, and businesses. Jim Risch, getting results for Idaho. Here's Senator Jim Risch.
The liberals in Washington want bigger government, higher taxes, and more spending. They're wrong. I'm Jim Risch, and I'll always stand up to defend our values. I'm fighting to save the American dream, to hang on to our property rights, and preserve the Second Amendment. We need less government and more freedom, lower taxes, and more jobs. I'm Jim Risch, and I approve this message because America is still the greatest country in the world.
Paid for by Jim Risch for U.S. Senate.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a boy, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover?
Not for fun, just so we can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat?
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere. All at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. And we are talking about immunizations, all the different kinds of immunizations from birth all the way through senior citizens. And we have a clarification on the difference between regular measles and German measles. Take it away.
Right. So we looked up that it's a more mild form of the measles, and the biggest risk is going to be for pregnant moms because it can cause a lot of complications with the birth and the baby.
Yeah. All right. So one of the things that we want to share with our listeners has to do with the purpose of a vaccination. They're not cures, but what are they? Carrie Ann, why don't you take us, start us off on that?
So they're just meant to reduce illness. And you were alluding to this a little bit before the break about not everyone is going to be able to be vaccinated. There are multiple factors why people can't get vaccines and babies can't get vaccines. Maybe they are allergic to a vaccine component and they've had a serious reaction. Maybe because, of something going on, maybe they have a medical condition, which is common, that makes it so that they cannot get vaccinated. And so they're somewhat dependent on others to go ahead and get those vaccinations, which then in turn offers them protection. So, and even the same for adults. We see many adults who come in and they've had a stem cell transplant. And so they are severely immunocompromised, and they're having to repeat and restart their entire childhood vaccine series to have some protection against those, vaccine-preventable diseases.
Wow. All right. Well, there are two that are fairly common, not only as we see infants getting the flu, but adults also are encouraged to get a flu vaccine, especially now. Here we are late October. It's time for people to have already have their flu vaccination. I have mine. Let's talk about the purpose of the flu vaccine and the efficacy of it. Carrie Ann, how do we approach that?
So, essentially the vaccines, their purpose is to try to prevent disease. They are not going, they're not 100%. It's just like washing your hands is a reducing the risk of you getting a foodborne illness or, communicable. So same thing, the vaccines are just meant to be an additional tool in addition with everything else that you're doing. And the, flu vaccine, I think it's really important that, as we're still doing mitigation measures, it is highly infectious and it just gets around our community. And it's difficult to constantly remember, you touch something. Oh, I got to wash my hand. I rubbed my eye or I itched my face or my nose or something like that. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands. We do so many movements in a day and we don't think about what we're touching and then thus, touching eyes and nose and mouth and that kind of thing. So I think that vaccines are really, especially the flu vaccine, is an important tool to have to help prevent illness during this time. And, I think we looked up the range for influenza effectiveness can range anywhere from 40 to 60. Obviously, you hope for more than that, but, in general, I think
it's important for people to understand that this is not like some kind of a magic potion. They say, oh, I never get the flu. Well, maybe you have a really strong immune system or, whatever your reason is, but either it may prevent you getting the flu, or it will mitigate, it will make the flu that you do get less severe.
Mm-hmm.
And even saying that, 40 to 60% effectiveness on any given year. So that's no guarantee, but it's better than 0% effectiveness.
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it. I have the same feeling about the shingles vaccination.
Is there an age, you two look too young to me to be worried about shingles yet, but have you received shingles vaccinations?
No.
Not yet.
So
all right.
Age indication for the new Shingrix vaccine is 50, which is great because the previous one was 60. So you're getting an additional 10 years to get it earlier. I think that it is the safety and efficacy data on it is so good that people are actually being recommended to get this vaccine even if they had the previous shingles vaccine, because it's offering such a higher level of protectiveness in the older ages, like 90 years of age and older. So
exactly. And I'm not in the 90-year-old category, but I'm in that category where I had this, whatever, Zostera something or other.
Zostavax.
Say it again.
Zostavax.
And that was like 50% effective. And even then I thought, well, 50%, I'll take it. But the Shingrix, which comes in two doses, is like 90% effective. I mean, that's just, who wouldn't want that? If you've ever been around somebody with shingles, you should not hesitate. Unless, as you say, Christina, there's some sort of medical reason.
Exactly.
That you can't take this, you know, there's just something that's standing
exactly.
in the way. And that should be respected, of course. You and your doctor need to work that out. Mm-hmm.
And just anecdotally, we've heard a lot of reports from people that are younger than 50 that are actually having shingles outbreaks, you know? So
yes.
Yeah. So I have a lot of people that are like, can I get it? No, it's not age indicated. So, you know, if they have a specific health reason, then they can get a doctor's note to potentially give it earlier, but that's not what the schedule is, and it's not per the manufacturer.
So literally you cannot get it unless you're 50 years old or older.
It's not recommended, but
not
if you have a doctor's note,
oh, I see. That's,
then, you know, okay. because of your medical condition or something like that, then, you know, you can get it.
All right.
Whether that's going to be reimbursed by insurance, that's another question.
One question people often ask is, if I got the chickenpox vaccine, do I need to get the shingles vaccine? And the answer is yes. You still need to get both.
Mm-hmm. Is there a booster shot? I think Shingrix is, you get the two doses and then that's it. You don't need to get any booster or anything after that.
Correct.
All right, back to the flu vaccine. There are two strengths, I guess I'll say, of the flu vaccine, kind of the regular and then the senior citizen super duper one.
The high dose.
The high dose.
Yep.
All right, super duper high dose for the seniors. Tell us about that. What is the age break for recommending the high dose versus the regular dose?
Yeah, sure. The high dose is for adults 65 and older. Again, you can get it younger than that if your doctor provides an order. Sometimes we do have that happen, you know, if people are at higher risk and say maybe they're, you know, age 60 and they're at higher risk, but you do have to get a doctor's order for that. And then there's just what people call the regular flu vaccine, and that's for anyone 64 and old, 64 and younger. That's not to say that adults 65 and older cannot, they can get the regular adult dose as well. There's nothing saying that they have to get the high dose vaccine. So, because right now this year that high dose vaccine is hard to come by. There's shortages of it. So,
is the formulation is the same, and that the strains of the virus that they're aiming at is the same, but it's just more something
antigen. So if it's considered a high dose, then it has four times the antigen of the standard dose. This year, it should be important to note that for 65 and older, there are two different vaccines. One is called Fluad, which has the standard antigen dose, but it has a novel adjuvant that basically boosts the immune system's response. And so that's why it's indicated for those 65 and older. And then you do have the, you know, quote unquote, normal high dose, which is four times the antigen.
You know, I don't know why I did it this year. Both were available to me, but I decided to just go ahead and get the regular dose. I just felt that, thank you, Jesus. I shouldn't say I never get sick, but I must have a really strong immune system. But I do get my flu vaccines, and I just thought, you know what, I think I'll just stay with the regular.
Yeah, and many choose to just do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're free to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I love about this. And to those listeners that have trouble, I've got a lot of friends who say, no, Barbara, don't get your flu shot. I don't know. There's something in there. We are free to choose. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. You've got flu shot clinics that are going on. Let's get that information out. Where do you still have some scheduled, even though we're kind of late in the season?
We finished up the last of our drive-through clinics. We did drive-through clinics this year. That was a new thing for us. And the main push for that was, you know, for COVID protection. But they actually were highly successful. So we plan to do those in future years, despite COVID or not. So, but anyone can make an appointment and come into our office. So we do request that you make an appointment because we are trying to limit people congregating in our lobbies and in our offices.
Okay, so and the number to call to make an appointment is 208-263-5159.
Yes.
Call and make an appointment. But you can also get your flu shot at like Walmart, yeah, Superdrug. Where else do they have it?
Safeway.
Safeway has a pharmacy. Any place that has a pharmacy,
Mm-hmm.
can give you your flu shot and keep track of it for you. So the number to call if you want to follow up on any of this with any of the people at Panhandle Health District, that number again is 208-263-5159. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to have a lot more information coming your way.
The 2020 harvest is in full swing here at the Pondere Winery, and it's certainly shaping up to be a great vintage. Chardonnay fans will be happy to hear that it's October's wine of the month. Specials will be available throughout the month on this excellent wine. Lisa's been working hard on new fall menu items for our kitchen, and yes, soup will be back. If you haven't made it in for Piano Sundays yet, you're missing out. And all white wine on Sundays are $6 a glass. Visit our website or Facebook page for more information, or better yet, stop into the 301 Cedar Street location to check out what's new firsthand. The Pondere Winery, help keeping locals sane for the past 25 years.
The aftermath of an accident is confusing and scary, and the next move you usually make is a call to your insurance company.
Hi, this is Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonner Ferry. Here to tell you it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. Your insurance company may try to steer you towards a contracted shop, some of which are not local, and can agree to use aftermarket, imitation, or even junkyard parts. Here at North Idaho Collision Repair Center, we really are different because we work for you, not the insurance company, to ensure quality repairs by ICAR certified technicians in a state-of-the-art shop.
From the minute you walk into North Idaho Collision Repair Center, you will notice the difference in how you are treated. They really do care, and they encourage you to see what their customers are saying. Check out North Idaho Collision Repair Center's reviews at carwise.com, or you can find them online at nicrepaircenter.com.
At North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonner's Ferry, we're here for you when you need us.
North Idaho's Radio and Parker Subaru are teaming up for the 4th Annual Sandpoint High School New Car Raffle. Help Sandpoint High School students reach their goal with your purchase of new car raffle tickets. And on January 8th, you could be driving a new 2020 Subaru Crosstrek Premium. Last year, students raised over $58,000. Get your $5 new car raffle ticket from any Sandpoint High School student. Sponsored by Parker Subaru and North Idaho's Radio.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
All right, everybody. Welcome back in. We are talking today with two nurses from the Panhandle Health District right here in District 1, which is northern Idaho, and they are based here in Sandpoint. Christina Gavin and Carrie Ann Yarnell are our nurses joining us today and keeping us straight with all this alphabet soup of vaccinations and timelines and everything. But it's so important that people are aware of it, that they're aware that these immunizations reduce the risk for you and your kids, and they help keep us. And if you do get sick, it should mitigate the severity of what you're getting. All right. You have free health screenings, and this is something new. Carrie Ann, tell us about that.
Yeah, so Nancy Jenkins is one of our registered dietitians with the health district, and she's also in charge of Bonner County Coalition for Health. And she was able to get a grant that is offering free health screenings that's primarily for those who are less likely to have an annual wellness exam without labs or with labs. But this is going to be open to anybody. So and you're going to have to call to schedule. So it's going to be held on Tuesday, November 10th from 12 to 5 at the Sandpoint Panhandle Health District office, which we're located at 2101 Pine Street across from Traverse. The phone number you would want to call to schedule is 208-415-5259. And this is going to offer, they're going to check your blood sugar and your lipids and blood pressure, and just give you kind of like a risk assessment. And then they will, if you don't have a primary care doctor, because they will be referring, if they identify anything, they'll have you be referred back to your primary care doctor. And if you don't have one, then they're going to hook you up with a community resource.
That is excellent. That's awesome. But it's only one day. I mean, do you think that I have a picture of people standing in line to get this, but maybe not. What do you think?
Well, I think this is just her initial screening, and she'll probably offer more as supplies allow.
Okay. And as the interest in the word gets out.
Correct.
That is excellent. Jenkins, I recognize that name. That must be someone related to the wife of the cardiologist that
yes.
We all know. All right. So that's a free health screening at Panhandle Health District. And give us that number again, because that's a different number, though you could probably call the regular Panhandle Health number and they would give you the special number to make an appointment with the free health screening. But let's give that number again.
208-415-5259.
Okay. And the regular number for Panhandle Health is 208-263-5159. All right, travel. We know that travel is a lot of it's restricted now because of COVID, but there are things that we need to know about if we are planning travel. What is going on with that, Christina?
So since we're talking about vaccinations, let's just talk about vaccines and travel. So hepatitis A is going to be an important one. Hepatitis A is transmitted through contaminated food or water. So when we go on trips and travel, sometimes we're eating out a lot. We're eating in different places. So that's a big one.
So that would be a booster. Presumably we had Hep A and Hep B at some point in the past. So if we're planning on traveling outside of the United States.
Exactly. Some places in the United States, it would still be recommended because, like I said, it's contaminated food and water.
Right.
So it's not just overseas.
Oh, okay. Not a booster.
Not a booster.
No.
Just the full deal.
If you've completed the series, you don't have to repeat the series unless you have an indication of, a lack of immunity. So like if you had titers drawn and it showed that you didn't have immunity or you were low, then you would be recommended to redo the series depending upon whether you're a healthcare professional or not.
And a lot of adults have not had the hepatitis A vaccine because when they were school-age children, it was not part of the vaccine schedule for schools.
Okay. So, all right. So we're talking about those retiring baby boomers that may not have had it.
I don't know what year it was added to the immunization schedule, but I would say people in their 40s, for sure.
That is really good to know.
So,
All right. Anything else on travel that people need to be alert to?
Yellow fever is one that is often required to travel to some areas. And that really is the only one that is required.
What about malaria?
Malaria also is sometimes recommended to certain areas, and that comes in two forms. You can get the vaccine.
Oh, that's typhoid.
Or sorry.
Malaria is a medication.
Typhoid, yeah.
Is a what?
Is a medication. Yeah. It's not okay. A vaccination.
Oh, okay.
So you would have to have a prescription for that.
Okay. Maybe just take with you. Is that the deal?
Some, it depends on which medication is recommended for that area. Some you take a few weeks before you go, and then while you're there and when you get back. Others you take, the schedule's different.
We've kind of got a big topic that I'm going to get to, and that's school. You know, what kids need to have? What are the rules in our school district? And what kind of flexibility do parents have if they don't want to do that? Can they still enroll their kids? So let's talk about what the school district rules are. Carrie Ann?
So my understanding is that the school follows what the state has put out. So if you go to the Idaho Health and Welfare, you can access what the required vaccines are for preschool and grades K through 12. They also have, you know, the requirements for daycare centers. And so, if you were born before September 1st, 2005, or after 99, then based on which grade you're in, it will give the requirements. So for an example, for kindergartner through sixth grade, you would need to have 5 DTaP, 2 MMR, 3 polio, and 3 Hep B in order to be considered,
for
vaccinated
enrollment.
For school. Yes, exactly. Obviously, that's not all of the vaccines that are recommended per the ACIP schedule, but for school, those would be the only required ones.
Can they deny enrollment if you don't have those, or delay enrollment, or is there any kind of opportunity for parents to say, I'm not going to do this, but I still want to enroll my child?
Absolutely. On the IDHW website, they'll have not only like if you have a medical exemption, but they can also do, you know, the
religious,
other
philosophical. Mm-hmm. Idaho does have a personal exemption as well. And many other states do not have that personal exemption.
Oh, okay.
So, and then as Carrie Ann said, then there's a different set of shots that are required. In seventh grade, you get a set of shots, and then now this year is a new requirement for 12th grade entry. There's one shot that is recommended.
You know, and talking about the recommended immunizations for kids each year getting, you know, being able to enroll in school, there are certain groups in our community that are required to have like flu shots. People that work, I think our teachers are required, or is that kind of too strong? It's recommended again, but they can still say no. What about doctors and nurses at Bonner General Health or you working with the public? Is it still optional for you, or are you required?
For us, it's a recommendation, a strong recommendation. I can't speak for Bonner General. I don't think they have it a requirement. Many hospitals do. I think probably for them, it's, again, a strong recommendation.
Right. Because I was talking to someone, they said, no, it's required. And my understanding has been there is nothing that is mandated. There's always an option. I'm so sorry. I'm going to explain what that is. This is so funny. I live in a little gated community. And if anybody presses the button for my name at the gate, it rings my cell phone and I can open the gate for them. And a guy that used to live where I live just called me so I could open the gate for him because they changed the codes. The codes are always changing. So he moved out. He no longer had a valid code. That is so funny. I'm so sorry that happened. Listen, you guys, I want to say thank you to you for being with us today. You have brought a lot of information, and we appreciate it so much. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
And everybody, thanks for coming along with us. You know, I hope that you tune in to all of our local shows that air here during the noon hour, beginning at 12:10 to almost 1 o'clock. And the wonderful programming, it's available on 1400 AM, 1450 AM.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
I am going to definitely put my phone on mute the next time. So sorry, I apologize. But anyway, stay here so you can, you know, get in on all my cell phone calls. But the programming during the noon hour is really interesting. It covers all kinds of topics, and I hope that you'll come back next Tuesday and be with me, because my guest next Tuesday is Christine DeNova, and she's the executive director of the Life Choices Pregnancy Center. They have the most amazing programs to support families, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, getting everybody together to support having this baby, if that's the direction that they decide to go. And they have a big fundraiser also coming up in November, so Christina is going to be here to talk about it. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care and be blessed.
KQ46EU, 1450 KBFI Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. More than 64